Oh, my mother. Oh, virtuous lady.
In personal interrelationships. And it is wrong to think we can have loving person.
You must seek attachment to
Trinadapi Sunichena. So quality training means you and nishkriyas. All these were servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord.
Kapila Dev is instructing as well as appealing to his mother about the importance of becoming attached to holy people. Srila Prabhupada is explaining the importance of understanding.
The greatest saints. That is the power of the mercy of the Lord. We have in Krishna's Leela, Nagakalia. He was such an envious demon. Just by his breathing, he could kill all the plants, trees, animals, even the birds that were flying overhead. This is how envious this personality was. How many people do you know? Even the greatest, most cruel dictators of the world. How many could... Kaliya tried to kill him. He wrapped around him. Then Krishna got out and started dancing. So graceful was this dance. From one head to another. And the heads were not still. They were going... They were trying to bite. They were trying to destroy. And Krishna was just dancing. So nice. And everyone was enjoying the dance except Kaliya. A good dancer, when people look, they see his feet are so light. He just... like floating. He looked like he was floating on the head of Kaliya. But what appeared to others to be floating every time that of life. In this age of Kali, the basic foundation of all our spirituality, no matter what position we may be in our society, is the taking shelter of the association of devotees and the chanting of the holy names. Therefore, Bhakti Vinod Thakur has sung, Prihe tako vane tako, sada hari bole tako, suke duke bulo nako, parne hari nam koro re, gai gaura madhu sware.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave this principle. Whether you are a grihastha with family, wife...
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Quality of the personality of Godhead, Hare. And thus it is worth hearing of his sublime character and activities. Please describe them. I am very eager to hear. Purport by his divine grace. A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srimad Bhagavatam is full of the transcendental topics of the personality of Godhead and his pure devotees. In the absolute world, there is no difference in quality between the Supreme Lord and his pure devotee. Lord is none different than the topics of the Lord himself. This is being explained here by Shukadev Goswami, Suta Goswami, and Vidura. That a devotee of the Lord keeps Krishna always in the center of his or her life. Therefore, their life is a pastime of Krishna being enacted along with his devotee. You cannot separate Krishna from his devotees, and you cannot separate the devotees from Krishna and be worshipped even by the greatest rishis, sages, and Vaishnavas. He taught through the life of Ramananda Rai how you can be a great big politician, very learned scholar, even do so many activities, but still be such a great devotee of the Lord. In this particular chapter, Vidura is very interested in hearing about Swayambhuva Manu because of what Krishna revealed through the example of Swayambhuva Manu. Very angry. But in his heart, he knew that they were right. He knew that they were pursuing a higher principle in life than he was asking them to do. Therefore, he restrained his anger. He didn't say anything. Because Brahma's a great person. He's a self-realized soul himself. So knowing that the four Kumaras were very, very highly realized soul pursuing the ultimate perfection of life, he understood they are right, but still, they're not helping me in my service. Dull sleep. He was immersed in dreaming of Krishna's incarnations, Krishna's lila, Krishna's teachings. And then in the morning, just before the Brahma Muhurta hour, actually all night long, but especially in the morning, all night long, there would be people singing bhajans and kirtans for him. And then early in the morning, there would be beautiful, beautiful recitation of Krishna's glories. So he would wake up immediately hearing not just ordinary people, but great devotees with soft hearts, loving souls.
So they finally made a nice arrangement. We will not, none of your intimate associates will go with you. We'll bring a new man who's very, very dedicated to you. Nice brahmachari, very simple, very sincere. His name is Kalkrishna. You won't even know he's there, but he'll always be helping. So to please his devotees, he accepted. The Lord traveled South India for about 2 years. When he returned to Puri, later he wanted to go to Vrindavan. Could not go without the blessings of his devotee. Even though he was longing, he was yearning to go to Vrindavan. They said, "My Lord, you are independent, you have your sweet will, you can do anything you like. Because you are asking for our permission to go, you could go after Dholayatra." After Dholayatra, the Lord approached them. "But there's a nice festival coming up, Rathyatra. You should go after Rathyatra." "Now I can go?" "Yes, of course you can go, but such a nice festival, go after Jatmasvami." "Radhastami is coming very soon." "After Radhastami, Govardhan Puja is coming." He said, "Actually, Dholayatra is coming up very soon." "You We should wait till after rapture.
Yeah, sure.
This way the Lord would not go without the permission and blessings of his devotees. In fact, on one occasion, he began to go, and all his devotees went with him. This was his first attempt to go to Vrindavan. So many devotees would go. And Lord Chaitanya saw Gadadhar Pandit. He said, Gadadhar, you cannot come with us. Gadadhar Pandit said, I am coming. He said, but you are pujari for the Tota Gopinath deity. You have taken vow of Jeetra Sannyas. Jeetra Sannyas means you never leave the town where your deity is being worshipped. So you must stay in Jagannath Puri. You cannot come. Gadadhar Pandit said, I will come. He said, you cannot come. You have taken vow of Jeetra Sannyas. You must stay and worship Gopinath. Gadadhar said, to hell with my Jeetra Sannyas. By seeing your lotus feet, I am worshipping Gopinath millions and millions of times. Lord Chaitanya said, well, you may not be concerned with breaking your vows, but I do not want me to be responsible for you breaking your vows. Gadadhar said, well, you're not responsible because I'm not going with you. I decided I want to go see Sachimata in Navadvip, so I'll go there. I'll just happen to be in your party, that's all. So Lord Chaitanya began to go to Vrindavan. The devotees told Pratapa Maharaj, the king, that Lord Chaitanya is planning to go to Vrindavan. And there's so many devotees going with him. But King Pataparuta wanted to help. Bhakti means whatever position we have, we want to use it for the service of the Lord and his devotees, whoever we are. Whatever we know how to do, whatever we have, we want it to be used in the service of God and his Vaishnavas. So King Pataparuta has all the resources of his empire. He wanted devotees to have a very nice journey. So he got royal boats, the king's boats, to be at each river to help Lord Chaitanya and the devotees cross the rivers. Then all the way through his kingdom, the kingdom of Orissa, he had big storehouses and kitchens made. So that wherever and whenever the devotees were hungry, all of the devotees would have a big feast waiting for them several times every day. These are serious travel arrangements. He arranged so that every night there would be a comfortable place for everyone to sleep, and there would be nice feast prasad day and night. And there were thousands and thousands of people in this party. So King Pratapuruta used whatever resources he had in the service of the Lord. So this is very important. We also hear stories about very simple devotees who just help in whatever way they can. This guy is doing, somebody has nothing, they'll just sweep the road or offer a few chickpeas to the devotees, but they do everything they can. You know the story when Sri Ramachandra was building a bridge across the Indian Ocean. Hanuman was picking up peaks of mountains and putting them as parts of a bridge. And that little spider was kicking grains of sand to help. For Sri Ram, Hanuman and the spider were equal. They were both trying to assist according to their capacity. Not long ago, we brought many hundreds of devotees to Navadvip for parikrama. We came to a place called Shukanda. It is a very holy place. Many of the Lord's very confidential associates were residents of Shukanda. Narahari Sarakar, Mukunda Sarakar, Rakumandan Dabur, Lochandas this is a very simple. So we came in the evening, and it was actually just getting dark. And the road was very dusty. And we were walking down the road between Karatau and Radanga and Sikhi Harina. These very, very simple villagers. You could see by the way they dressed and by their mannerisms, they were extremely poor. But they were so excited that the Harinam Sankirtan of Lord Chaitanya had come to their village. There were dozens upon dozens of people lined up along the road. And you could see how each of these villagers just was doing everything they can to somehow or other serve the Vaishnavas. There was this old lady. She looked like about 80 years old. She was dressed in tattered rags. She had nothing. But she had pots of water. And she would take little pots into the big pot. And then she would just go in front of all the devotees and keep pouring water on the dusty road before the devotees so that the dust would not go into the dust would be moistened and then it would not go into their face. She was just working so hard. She had nothing, but somehow she used her strength to just keep getting water to serve the devotees by putting it in front of the devotees as they were walking. And some other people came up and they had little ghee lamps. They were just offering it to the sankirtan. Another simple villager had a chamara, a really old chamara. And was just standing at each and every devotee as they were walking by in the kirtan. So very spontaneous. I remember in Bombay, some people from a very poor, poverty-stricken village that had just suffered a drought came to this star temple. These very, very simple people, they were just so excited because they were going to be offering the most opulent gift of their village to us. They had this bag that they were carrying. They were so excited to offer this bag to the sadhus. You could see the way they were holding that bag and the way they presented it. It was as if it was a bag of precious diamonds. Then I told them, just pour the bag here and whatever's in it on this cloth. They emptied that bag. And as they were emptying it, they were all like, just die, die, die. Now, what do you think was in that bag?
Potatoes.
Some peanuts. In the shells. They still had those long strings at the end of them. The shells still had the earth on them. But they were suffering drought, and somehow these peanuts grew, and they were offering the peanuts. For these people to offer their peanuts was equal to a millionaire giving millions of dollars, because they just wanted to assist. King Pataparudra was king, so he used the whole treasury of the government to serve Lord Chaitanya and his devotees. Wouldn't it be nice if there were kings like that today? And these simple villagers were offering some water or peanuts. It was equal. There were so many people following Lord Chaitanya. He was dancing. There was a devotee named Narasinghananda. And this Narasinghananda, he decided, he was in, that actually Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he came to Navadvipa. So many people came to see him there. All those who were offensive to the Lord and offensive to the Vaishnavas in the past, they all fell at his feet and begged forgiveness. Lord Chaitanya forgave them all and gave them love of God. Now this devotee Narasinghananda, he was living in Navadvipa. And he decided, I'm a Brahmachari, what do I have to offer? He had no possessions whatsoever. He wanted to offer what he had to help the Lord and the devotees in their journey. So what do you think he offered? His thoughts. That's all he had. He just sat in meditation. And in his meditation, he was decorating the road that Lord Chaitanya was traveling. And then on both sides of the road, he began to meditate on building beautiful ponds of fresh, nectary water. Each pond he meditated upon, putting beautiful blue lotus flowers, pink lotus flowers, swans were pleasingly swimming through these ponds. He decorated both sides of the road with very auspicious trees. Dhamma trees, Bhagavad trees, banyan trees, all with fruits and fragrant blossom flowers. He was actually arranging this inch by inch. This was meditation as the Lord was passing, so the Lord would see all these beautiful, beautiful spiritual opulences. And as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing and chanting, when he was looking, he was actually seeing the road that Narasinghananda Brahmachari was paving in his mind hundreds of miles back in Navadvip. Because Lord Chaitanya accepts the purpose in which everything is offered. Because he was offered with such love from his heart, Lord Chaitanya's senses were seeing the fruits of his love and devotion that was in his heart. So he was just arranging the road and all the environment for hundreds of kilometers. And then at a certain point, he just couldn't make the road beautiful anymore. His meditation just couldn't continue. To everyone's great surprise, he came out of meditation and declared, Lord Chaitanya is not going to Vrindavan. He will only go as far as Kanai Natashala. How do you know? Going to Vrindavan, he's the independent supreme personality of God. And if he wants to go to Vrindavan, how do you say he's not going to Vrindavan? He will not go to Vrindavan. So when Ram Kali, the Lord, met Rupa and Sanatana, these two Goswamis surrendered to him. And after offering prayers of humility and love, they said, my Lord, better you don't go to Vrindavan with so many millions of people. Better to go with them yourself for a few. Then you will enjoy the atmosphere more. From that place, Lord Chaitanya went to Kanai Natashala. It's a very holy place. It's on a hill, and the Ganga goes around that hill. So Ganga surrounds Kanai Natashala on three sides. And at that place, the Ganga appears to be almost a mile wide. You take it. Such a beautiful place. And the same types of trees of Vrindavan are there. In fact, it is considered to be not different than Vrindavan, even though it's in Bengal. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was seeing this beautiful Vrindavan atmosphere. And there were hundreds and thousands of people stepping on the trees and making all noise. And he was thinking, what Sanatana Goswami told me is correct. I should go to Vrindavan with not so many. Then he loudly declared, to everyone's surprise, we will return to Puri! Now, there's something that is important to understand in this narration. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Gadadhar Pandit, was actually following them, but he was a little separate, just a little separate from the party of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya said to Gadadhar, I'm not responsible for you breaking your vows. You cannot come with my party. Gadadhar said, I will not come with your party. I will go on my own. I'm not going with you. I have own business of going on my own. He was right next to the party. A little distance. And he was following. So when they came to Big Mahanadi River, officially when you're out of Puri, Lord Chaitanya was about to get on a boat called Gadadhar. He said, Gadadhar, now you are successful. You showed how you could break your vows. Now you go back to Puri, you worship Gopinath, and I will not hear anything else from you. And then he got on the boat and went away. Gadadhar wandered, fell unconscious. Lord Chaitanya told Sarvabhauma about the chariot, because he also took vow of Jesus and asked, he couldn't leave him. He told Sarvabhauma, you take care of him, bring him back to Puri. And Sarvabhauma about the chariot picked up Gadadhar. He said, this is his mercy on you. The Lord is so, he loves you so much. He is in more separation from you than you are from him. The Lord is willing to suffer so much pain in his heart to be without you, just to protect your promise. Just like Krishna broke his own promise to protect Arjuna's promise when he fought with Bhishma. Because in Gita, Krishna says, Kauteya Paratichari Hina Devata Pranashiti, I will always protect my devotee. But he also made promise, I will not fight in the battle of Kurukshetra. I will not lift a single weapon ever. So Bhishma, he wanted to show the world how Krishna loves his devotees. He got in a fight with Arjuna, and he defeated Arjuna, and he was about to kill him. And he knew the only way he could be saved is if Krishna breaks his own promise and fights. So when Arjuna was in a helpless condition, Bhishma went right up, ready to get him. And Krishna lifted up the wheel of a chariot and came running at Bhishma to defeat him. As he was running, his eyes were red like coals of anger. His body and his hair was covered by the dust of the battlefield. And Bhishma was shooting arrows at him. Elisha came to attack. Bhishma surrendered. This was his love. When Bhishma was on his deathbed, this was his meditation. Tears gliding from his eyes, he was remembering how Krishna's soul, that beautiful form of Parthasarathi, running at me with anger with that chariot wheel in his hand. Actually, that is my meditation. How the Lord is willing even to break his own promise to maintain the truth of his devotee. It's because Krishna told Arjuna, you declare it boldly that my devotees will never perish. And actually, Bhishma defeated Krishna by having him do that. And Prabhupada said he was a Kshatriya. When he was shooting arrows at Krishna, they were arrows of pure love. Actually worshiping Krishna in pure love by showering him with sharp arrows piercing his body. Srila Prabhupada explains that when Bhishma was shooting arrows, and they were piercing Krishna's body. There you go. It's a very nice offense. The Prabhupada explains that when Bhishma was shooting arrows at Krishna's body, Krishna was feeling such pleasure, just like another devotee. This is very confidential subject. Just like another devotee offering scented soft flower petals to the body of Krishna, he was feeling the arrows the same. Because the Lord accepts the internal quality of a person's love. The Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said it the same way. way Lord Chaitanya is suffering your separation just to maintain your promise. So Gadadhar went back to Gopinath Temple. And then after that, actually, the Lord went to Navadvip, Narasinghananda Brahmachari made his flower road. Rupa Sanatan advised him to go back to Puri. So the Lord came all the devotees back to Puri. So when they got to the outskirts of Puri, a place called Atharanala, all the residents of Puri and the pujaris of Jagannath, they all came to greet Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Krishna would not allow me to go to Vrindavan because I hurt the heart of Gadadhar Pandit. I will not be able to ever go to Vrindavan unless Gadadhar Pandit gives me his blessings and permission to go. Gadadhar Pandit heard this, he became very much pleasingly embarrassed. He said, my Lord, you are the independent supreme controller of all controllers. You can do anything you like. But it is your nature and your pastimes that you are subordinate to your devotees. Therefore, I give all permission, all blessings, everything that you go to Vrindavan. So ultimately, my only happiness is your happiness. But first, come to my house for prasad. The Lord came and he Gadadhar Pandit cooked such a beautiful, beautiful bhoga to be offered to Mahaprabhu. So these are a few of the stories that show how the Lord is a prisoner in the heart of his devotee. Who is that devotee? The devotee who, whoever they are, whatever they have, they offer their lives to Krishna. They are very attached to hearing the glories of the Lord, attached to chanting the glories of the Lord, and attached to serving the Lord. Servant of the servant of the servant. So such a person, Krishna manifests his mercy through that person. And to become attached to such a Vaishnava is the supreme perfection of our lives. Kapila Dev says, you must seek attachment to such holy men, for this counteracts the pernicious effects of material attachment. Prabhupada gives a very, very beautiful example that the cat is carrying a kitten in her mouth. And the kitten is feeling, oh, so nice. The kind, loving mother is so kindly protecting in her own mouth. There's nowhere else better that little kitten would rather be than in the mouth of her mother. And sometimes if the mother lets her go, the kitten will just start jumping, just pick me up, and the mother will then take me. That little kitten feels safe and fearless as long as it is in the mouth of the mother cat. With the same mouth, the same cat picks up a rat. Does the rat feel safe? Does the rat feel loving shelter? The rat feels the blows of death in the jaws of that cat. Same mouth. What is the difference? The kitten has taken shelter with the cat. And the mother and the rat is not at all taking shelter. So we are all within this mother nature. Krishna is the supreme father. And Sri Radharani is the supreme mother of all the demons. She is the supreme goddess of fortune. And as a goddess of fortune also manifests herself as mother nature. You know that in India they worship Durga. Durga in her many forms, Kali, Chandika, Vaishnavi, these are all so many different forms of Kali. Parvati is the consort of Shiva. She is the goddess of material nature. People generally worship Durga to get the gifts of material nature. Material prosperity, health, family, and so forth. You know there's a story in the Navagriha, Thakura Bhaktivinoda. In summary, Lord Shiva was dancing in ecstasy because he had the darshan of Lord Gauranga. Parvati said, "My Lord, I've never seen you like this. What happened?" And she also wanted the darshan of Lord Chaitanya. So she went to Navagriha and she performed tapasya there. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually appeared before Parvati. And Parvati, she offered beautiful prayers. She said, "I am the most unfortunate person. Because my position is to keep everyone away from you. While all your other consorts are in the spiritual world serving you so nicely, I'm the goddess of material energy. I keep everybody in illusion. I keep everyone away from you. I have the most miserable, thankless task. Please grant me your loving service." And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained that actually you are an expansion of Srimati Radharani. You are an expansion of Sri Radharani. And this is your service. Preside over the whole material creation. You are the Mother Nature. And actually, this is your service to me. And ultimately, by the way you, through the three modes of material nature, you are ultimately bringing everyone, frustrating people so they will come back to me. You may assist me in my pastimes of Navadvipa when I come as Prodamaya. So, through this simple story, we understand who is Mother Nature. Mother Nature is the mother of all of us because she is the consort of all.